Folks, and welcome back to Room Temp. This is episode 31. We're here on this Tuesday night, all together here, talking about some sports for you guys. How's everyone feeling?
Not too bad. I'm getting kind of sick, I think.
Uh-oh, it's about that time.
I woke up this morning, and, like, my nose was, like, stuffy, my throat was scratchy. I'm, like, fucking exhausted all the time. My body aches. Like, it's kind of shitty, actually. So, you know, that's about all I'm doing right now.
Is it warmer really by you?
No. Oh, it was yesterday, and now it's fucking cold as shit. I think that's why.
Yep, because, like, you get those allergies.
We had 6 feet of snow the other day, and then it was like 50 degrees, 60 degrees, and then it was like 55 yesterday, and then today it's like 32. Like, it's fucking cold as shit again. So it's like, I don't really know what the hell to do.
Barometric pressure changes.
Yeah, dude, it just fucked me all up. But I did get pretty angry at the gym, though, at a couple people, because there's these three dudes that were just, like, talking football. And, you know, obviously, as soon as I hear football, like, I'm going to overhear what they're saying.
Right, you're going to pause the music. Pause that Celine Dion that's on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there, and they're talking about injuries. Because the one kid was like, yeah, like, I really want all the ligaments in my knee just to shatter, just to see what it would feel like just because of all these NFL players doing it. And that's what caught my attention the first time. And I was like, what the fuck? And the one kid was like, yeah, the worst injury I ever like saw was like the Joe Theismann thing. And I was like, okay, like, that's a pretty reasonable thing. And the other guy goes, yeah, like, that Jeff Ertz injury was horrible in the end zone. And I was like, okay, what? Like, what the fuck? And then the other kid, like, comes like, wait, like, what are you talking about? And he was like, yeah, like, the guy for the Bears that, like, literally his leg. And the guy was like, I don't think that was Ertz, but, like, I don't think it was Jeff. I think it was his brother. And then I was just like, holy fuck. Like, I was like, it's Zach Miller. And, dude, they went on naming names for a good 30 seconds. Not a single name had Zach nor Zach Miller in it. And I wanted to just throw myself against them and be like, yo, it's Zach fucking Miller. Get over it. And
you
just
should be
walk
careful
away.
Who you throw yourself up against.
No, dude, these kids were definitely not, like, I could have taken them, bro.
You could have taken them. He's been going to the gym, so.
Yeah, bro.
Bro, he's been working out.
Dude, I'm getting lean, dude.
His double chin is down. Like,
it was down. Sean Jers was up.
Is it not? Is it not?
Yeah, you didn't hear from our Snap story earlier? From our Snapchats earlier?
No, I messed up.
Yeah. We're going to see this in action eventually between Sean and Ben. See which one of them, how athletic each of them are. I'm gonna have a little shameless plug here. We got tomorrow, the first episode of First Rounders coming out at you. We're gonna be trying to cover, if we can, the theory between Sean and myself was to cover every position for all of us between now and the draft. Just, you know, enter our names in a bunch of times. It's like, can't buy too many lottery tickets. So exactly. We're gonna have that matchup between Sean and Ben eventually. And yep. It's going to be a doozy
Probably when the leaves start, the leaves start coming back on the trees.
I don't know, man. A ground battle in the mud might be pretty sweet.
I like mud.
Well, that would be true.
Just two guys, you know, just going at
two
it in the mud.
Two guys being,
you know,
dudes.
Yeah,
you know,
nothing wrong with that. It's 2018.
I think I'm trending up because all Sean does is run. But, you know, I get a good pump in every day. You know,
just wait. I'm going to be so bored here pretty soon that I'm going to have nothing to do but lift.
I doubt it.
You just watch, son.
Whoa.
I think it's gonna be a good battle.
Sean can't wait until he bicep curls 20s.
Hey, man, easy. That's what I'm doing.
Starting with 15s. You
gotta start small. Start small.
Yeah, start small with high reps and then build yourself up.
Yeah, yeah.
Jiminy Christmas. If I started with that, I would, like, I'd shoot myself. That's baby weight, Ben. Come on, guy.
Baby weight.
It really is.
Tonight, pretty sure we're just gonna dive right into the games this past weekend. That's the biggest story. I mean, the rest of the shit that we're going to talk about can go after. Super Bowl was set February 4th at 6:30 in Minneapolis. Sorry. Yeah, Eagles.
It is Minnesota, so you're not wrong.
Right. Just a different city, right. Eagles versus the Pats. So we're going to go AFC first. Thoughts on the Jags versus Pats game, 24-20 Pats.
Fucking blew it.
I don't know if the Jags blew it.
All
I
just time.
That was an all-time Pats game.
Fuck up.
All-time Pats game, dude.
150 passing yards in the fourth quarter with two touchdowns from Brady. Are you kidding me?
Tom Brady, bro. What did you expect?
I mean, I get that it's Tom Brady, but I'm just saying, like, how do you blow up that bad like that? Like, you can't do that. You can't start to conserve. Like, what are you doing? Why do you let that happen? That's not okay. You had arguably the best defense in all of the NFL. Like, what are you doing?
Did the Jags' performance surprise us in this game, or not at all?
No, the game itself didn't surprise me at all. They played really well up until the fourth quarter.
So I said before this game, obviously, I personally wanted the Jags to win. I didn't. I picked them too, but I didn't realistically think that they were going to win. But I am kind of happy. There's a little silver lining in my own head that the Pats won only because of Tom Brady's hand excuse and the Gronk excuse that I would have heard from every Patriots fan ever if the Jags excuse. Won. And it would have been, all I would have heard was, if the Jags have won, all I would have heard was, yeah, well, I mean, they beat him without Tom Brady and concussed Gronk. That's all we would have heard. That's all I would have heard.
Yeah.
Bro.
Like, I would have opened up Twitter and it would have been so annoying. And I was
the Brady
like,
thing, though, is kind of legit, though. He had 12 stitches.
Right. No, agreed.
Like, that is fucking wild.
Absolutely agreed. However, I don't know. Like, it's just Tom Brady. Like, and I think all three of us said that before the game. We were like, none of us are really, like, worried. Like, he's gonna do totally fine. Dude, he aired it out a few times, too.
Yeah, I was a little worried about it just because, like, everyone just kept, like, saying, like, this is pretty serious. Like, he got, like, his hand literally cut.
Yeah, Rex Burkhead, I'm surprised he's not dead.
Yeah, and, like, surprised he's not cut. But, and then, like, he came out and, like, threw that, like, 25-yard just dime down the seam, and I was like, yep, it's over. Like, it doesn't matter. Like,
so
the refs gave them that game, too.
Dude, there were
some of the worst calls I've ever seen in my – dude, they called a defensive, like, encroachment. Or no, they called a false start on the Jags when it was clearly encroachment. They gave
that PI call. The one PI call was bullshit. That's the only thing I said, but I don't necessarily call it like a –
The only thing I thought was bullshit about it that Jags fans could really complain about was them blowing the Miles Jack play dead.
Yes. Oh my God.
You got to think though, like, how many times does a play like that happen and like it still gets blown? You can't tell live action, at least from like, I feel like a ref's perspective, that ball is out until you see it like out on the field. And that didn't happen until everyone was down. So like, I feel like it was just kind of a reactionary thing. Like, oh, it looks like he's down. Like, there's a clear recovery. Like, we can just go, like, yeah, it fucking sucks because it could have been a touchdown. But, like, I think, like, if they wouldn't have called it, like, you know what I mean? Like,
I agree that it was probably impulsive. But I think that, like, on the other side of things, I also, I don't know. I think letting the play play out.
Yeah, but how many times do we see plays like that are real bang, bang, and they blow the whistle right away, and the guy still runs it back to the end zone, and it comes back, and it's not. Like,
no, I
feel
I agree
like
with
it could
you.
Have been – it could have went both ways on that, and it just so happened that it went in the Patriots' favor. Like,
I think the most annoying play call for me was what Sean just mentioned. I think it was in the fourth quarter, or it might have been the third, from the first touchdown that they had in a row against the Jags. It was that PI call, and I think it was for, like, 54 yards or 53 yards or something like that.
Put them down inside the five.
And it literally was there. It was their first drive in their surge to come back, too. And I was like, well, you just gave them all the momentum.
I just hate the narratives that, like, the refs and the Pats. Like, I just hate – like, I just feel like that's a lazy thing of just saying, like – like, I just feel like I hate the fucking Patriots, but they're fucking good. Like, I can say that. Like, I can safely say that Tom Brady – he's the greatest quarterback of all time.
Are the Eagles
this might be the greatest era of teams of all time. And, like, yeah, like, there are some things that go their way. But, like, that's fucking football. Like, that's the human error aspect of refereeing. And, like, I just think it's lazy to say that, oh, Patriots are going to win just because the refs are on their fucking side. Like, no, they're going to win because they're the better fucking
team.
Like, that's just the way
it is.
I get
that, but if you look at trends and penalties against the Patriots and against everybody else,
like
all their opponents, it's not –
it's 10-8. There's been 10 games this year where they have had less penalties than the other team. Or, no, there's been 10 games where they have had more penalties than the other team this year. So that narrative isn't even true.
I don't know if I believe that.
Look it up.
Show me his stats, Ben.
And I said this too. This was like another aspect. Obviously, Tom Brady was an X factor in this game, but I said he was pretty good. But how much of it was just Amendola just being a boss and kind of putting the team on his back too, like to the
former
two touchdowns?
Ram.
I mean, that's just the way that the coaching scheme is. It's like, do your fucking job.
Right, but I mean, like, Amendola, like,
dude, he did his fucking incredible
he had some twinkle toe touches in the
that last touchdown he had was just mind boggling.
It's awesome. Like, it was awesome to watch. I'm not like
Is. Yeah, and it's like he's been making these plays since he was on the Rams. Like, I can remember there's been plays that I can run through my head that like he's just floating through the air and just comes down with the ball. You have no idea how he does it, and like the fact that he has Tom Brady thrown to him and not like freaking Sean Hill anymore, like. It just adds to that just level of his play, and I think that he's like, he's probably their best wide receiver right now. Is he not?
Right now,
like,
probably. Other than Gronk, I guess.
Other than Gronk, I'm just talking strictly like wide. Like I understand Gronk's more of a receiver than a tight end, but like if you're talking just the wide receiver room, yeah. Like I think he's better than Brandon Cooks on their team. Like Brandon Cooks could have had a 60-yard.
Sure.
He could. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Brandon Cooks is more explosive, but like. That drop that he had when he has like 5 yards of separation and a whole butt-ass naked field in front of him and just right off the fingertips. Like, I'm surprised he came back in that game at all.
So looking back, I know we've mentioned it a number of times, especially about the Jags and not really being sold on them this season. If we're looking back on them this season, what do you think? What are your thoughts on the Jags season? Obviously, it was a success for sure. Like, you can't be mad at the coaching staff. The defense, obviously, one of the better team ones that we've seen, arguably ever, and if nothing else in recent memory. Thoughts? Noah?
I was going to let Sean go first.
Sean,
I'll
go for it.
Sean?
No, Ben, go. You go. I'll with it.
Sean was not paying attention, so go ahead. Go ahead, Ben.
Okay. I think that this Jags team is fucking very, very good, but I think if, like, their defense is obviously their best unit, well, probably the best unit in the entire league. And, I mean, rightfully so, they've spent so much money high draft picks past 4 or 5 years on the defense. I think that, like, now they can kind of focus on offensively. And I think if they had I like Blake Bortles, but I think, like, that game is as far as he's going to go. You know what I mean? Like, he played probably the best game of his career, and it just didn't cut it. Brady's playing the Patriots, but when is he not going to play the Patriots within the next few years until Tom Brady goes away? And even then, who knows?
Until he dies.
But like, yeah. but like, I think even if they had Kirk Cousins, like imagine like if they had like I picture Blake Bortles as like a slightly above average NFL quarterback, all things considered.
Poor man's Big Ben.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, imagine if they had someone like if I was them this offseason, I'm throwing a bat. I'm saying, fuck it. This, you know, before all these big contracts really kick in on defense, this is probably our last year to really just like splurge and just throw bags at people. I'm just gonna fuck around and throw something at Kirk Cousins. I'm gonna fuck around and throw something at Jimmy G. Like, why not? And like, if all that fails, then I'll tag Bortles and just go one more year with him.
Jimmy G.
And see really what he can do.
Jimmy G isn't leaving. Kirk Cousins is going to be able to go anywhere he fucking wants.
Why not go to Jacksonville?
That'd be sweet.
I mean, it wouldn't be necessarily terrible, but, I mean, Mercedes Lewis is an all right tight end. He's a big guy, but he's not that...
He's also older. He's
skilled,
getting up there.
Finesse guy that you're going to want.
This is his 12th season, I think.
Honestly,
yeah, he's old.
Their offensive line isn't the greatest either, which is a problem.
I mean, Blake Bortles, I think their bigger problem is having a quarterback who
their
can consistently pass well.
Their defense is outstanding.
Right.
I don't think Blake Bortles always has the best judgment. He has his flashes, but that's all they
He's
really
He's not
are.
An X-Factor quarterback.
It kind of reminds me of Miami's quarterback.
Tannehill.
Yeah,
you
mentioned
know how
that.
Tannehill has, like, flashes and then, like, he just turns back into being like, how the fuck did you just throw that pass? I see that a lot in Blake Bortles. Granted, Blake can run the ball a little bit better than he can.
He's more athletic.
I don't see him being that elite.
Yeah, me either. And
he's
like,
X Factor quarterback.
Yeah. And like, that's why I was kind of saying, like, their offensive line won't be that great. Yeah, Mercedes Lewis is aging. Yeah, their weapons aren't what they could be because they're not really that healthy. But like, look, they got the AFC Championship game with a pretty decent offense with Blake Bortles. Like,
I can't.
All things Robinson. Considered, if they stay the same, yeah, they get A-Rod back maybe if they re-sign him, which I don't know about. You know, you bring in just a better quarterback, and all of a sudden, just that level of play gets raised.
You know what I mean? I don't want to hear the injury argument anymore.
With what?
Like sports. This year has really pissed me off with that.
I'm just saying,
there's
like,
teams that have had significant injuries. Don't get me wrong. But the Eagles, dude, they've literally lost everybody. I know what you're saying. I'm just saying.
Eagles are a better fucking offense. Like, yeah, they're going to be there without, like...
How? Like, you counted against them both of the past 2 weeks.
Oh, no, I mean, I think the Eagles have a better offense than the fucking Jags.
With Nick Foles, you think that they have a better offense than the Jags?
Clearly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude,
what about the Jags' offense?
The narrative that Carson Wentz is the league's MVP is shattered just because of how well Nick Foles has been playing this offense.
I don't think it is. I think it is.
They haven't lost with Nick Foles.
Yes, they have.
Not once.
They lost to Dallas.
Dallas.
Okay, but he played one. He played a quarter. Yeah. So like,
I would love to go back and replay all this stuff and play with the stuff that he's saying right now. It'd be great.
Just wait till I get to my Eagles segment. Then you can replay whatever you fucking want. I already have something planned for what I'm going to say.
Okay.
You kind of jumped the gun on it. But no, before we move on, still talking about A-Rob. If you're the Jags, do you re-sign him?
Yes.
Yeah, at least.
Because you know he's going to want major money, and he's gotten hurt the past 2 years.
If you don't re-sign him, there's so many other teams.
He's going to go to the Patriots.
He's not.
He can go anywhere. That's fine.
I see him going.
But dude, the wide receiver class is thick this year.
The 49ers.
Ooh, or the 49ers. That was my next thing I thought of.
Imagine him and Jimmy G, because Jimmy, he has Pierre Garçon. That's it.
Yeah.
And Goodman.
Who the hell is Goodman?
And Robbie Gould kicking up behind him.
I'm just saying. Look at the 49ers to make waves in the draft this year with offense.
Oh yeah. And Cleveland next year is going to be a 5-win team.
I said they were going to be a 5-win team this year, and I was very, very wrong.
I'm doing it for next year.
Todd Haley is the new offensive coordinator, so they're going to win 16 again.
They're going to win 16.
Dude, if you look at his past, like, I think they had it on ESPN today, like, his past, like, 6 seasons, he had, like, the 7th best offense average, like,
that's
in
so
almost
annoying.
Every offensive category.
That's with so with Big Ben, bad. Le'Veon he, Bell, Antonio Brown,
I don't think
David
it's
Bryan,
his fault. I don't
shooter.
Think it's his fault. I think that the,
yes,
locker, the
is,
locker room,
his
the,
play
locker
calling
room
is atrocious.
The locker room was not what it should have been there. It's really
his play
isn't.
Calling is horrible.
Yes, he didn't have the best play calling in the divisional round. I will agree
horrible,
with that.
Horrible, bro. Dude, I've watched so much. I'm sure you guys have too, but I've watched so much Steelers this year just because. Every time they're on, my roommates watch from front to back. So I've watched basically the entire Steelers season, dude, and he is terrible. Terrible. With all those weapons, he is god-awful. And then you're going to put him on Cleveland's team, and he's going to be the play caller for Cleveland? My God, they're going to go 0-16 again.
Sean Kizer for MVP.
He's not even going to be their quarterback.
He's not
going to
be their quarterback.
I don't know. I feel like they're going to try and get somebody before the draft, just so that way.
They should.
Well,
this is not the best quarterback.
They should, but they won't.
If you're really trying to make a run at Kirk Cousins, do it, because he already said he wouldn't mind playing there.
I just think that I think that Cleveland will be stupid to bank it on another rookie quarterback this year.
But they're Cleveland.
If you get shot at Kirk Cousins and you have the money to do it, you have the draft picks to give up to get him.
Yeah.
Give up a first-round draft pick for him.
And some money.
You might not even have to give up that much money if you're giving. Dude, that's a top 5 pick this year.
Yeah. Well, I just think that, like, that the QB class, I think that they can be good, like, very good. But I don't see someone who I'm just like, this guy's going to be a fucking beast in the NFL next season.
I think Sam Darnold's going to be good as long as he has a good line. That's my opinion. I think he's going to be very good. The Giants have a horrible line.
I think he goes to the Giants.
They have an absolutely terrible.
I think Rosen goes to the Giants.
I can also see Rosen going to the Giants, but that's neither here nor there. I mean, yeah.
I think Rosen's going to drop. I really do.
No, dude.
Character concerns,
Rosen.
Dude.
I don't know. I haven't watched him. I didn't watch too much of him this year.
He has massive character concerns, which is like what nobody wants after the whole Johnny Manziel
fiasco.
Yeah,
he's coming back.
But Rosen is. I feel like Rosen's a better prospect than Manziel, though.
Why?
Like, if Manziel didn't have Mike Evans at A&M, he wouldn't have been as good as what he was.
That's right. He had Mike
Evans.
Yeah,
but
there.
He also
all he did
was
run around and
teams,
just fuck it up. And Mike Evans.
He also was only one of the, like,
anyway.
The only people in recent memory to, like, single-handedly beat Alabama, which was pretty phenomenal. His records at A&M were so much better than Rosen. He also won a Heisman.
But Rosen had no one on his team this entire time. Rosen has been UCLA. Name another UCLA player on their roster this year. One on their offense. Name one.
I can't.
Exactly.
And Mike Evans is the only one you can name from his.
Dude, they had Mike Evans. They had who the fuck was their running back? They had a running back that was in the NFL for a little bit. Fuck, I forget his name. I'm gonna look it up.
Did you guys see from Alvin Kamara? I think it was a SportsCenter exclusive thing where he was talking about the evolution is the right word. The evolution of like the modern day running back. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Yeah, they're all purpose now.
Yeah, like it's pretty cool to see how we've seen that change like that from like running backs.
Being physical and downhill to running spread offenses where you can dink it and dunk it off to your running back in the backfield to going to the NFL with a pro style and incorporating that in. That's how offenses have changed so much.
It's pretty cool. It was pretty cool to listen to them where you have like a way more dynamic offensive player. Not just like a guy who runs through a line.
Running backs back in the day were like, I know 2 + 2 = 5.
They didn't need them to be smart. Wow. They need to be good at football.
You know what I mean? Like, just the heavy downfield runners, like, massively physical guys. People with not very good.
Massively physical? You mean like Ben?
Exactly like me.
Take Ben and multiply him by 2. Maybe 1.5.
By 2, because he's lost weight. Good for you, Ben.
Heyo.
But,
wait, what year was Manziel? I thought he was 2014.
No.
13.
13? Damn.
Right? Was it 13?
I believe he's not 14 because I just looked up their roster on
I'm sure 14, he's older than 14, Ben.
Maybe 15, I just thought he came out my senior year.
That would be 13.
Nope, you're wrong. My senior year was 14.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, damn. Crud. Yeah, because I graduated high school in 2013.
They had Josh Lambeau on their team. That's funny. They had Jake Matthews. They had... Where the fuck? Ricky Seals-Jones, I know that name. Where the fuck?
How did we get to this?
I don't know. We were just talking about Johnny Manziel.
Keep going. It's useless.
Whatever. Okay. Basically, running back's going to be cool. Yeah, so we got Pats now, obviously making it to the Super Bowl. And on the other end, NFC, out of the NFC, are the Eagles took over the Vikings in a honestly very shocking game, to me, in my opinion, and to all of our predictions.
Oh, yeah.
So, Sean, we'll give you a little bit of a minute to talk about your thoughts on this game. You're going to yell, please back up from the mic.
My voice is still not completely healed from Sunday. There was a lot of screaming. I had to call off work on Monday because I celebrated too hard in what was easily a top 5 night of my life. They shattered expectations, and every time they scored, up until like when they scored like the last touchdown, I was like, okay, like it's definitely over. But like when we were only up 21, I was still like, this could be still a game. Like they can come out in the second half and just get absolutely dominated. But that didn't happen. The defense showed up like I did not expect at all. Those turnovers were key. The defensive line was relentless, which I said was going to be very important if they wanted to win the game. And it was. It was just an all-around really, really good performance and a really, really great coming-out party for Nick Foles. I thought he played outstanding. He has the highest quarterback rating right now out of all the quarterbacks in the postseason, which is... I find very impressive. He's posted 100 passer rating in every single one of his 3 playoff starts that he's ever been in, which is another crazy, crazy stat line. I'm still in shock and all. It hasn't fully set in that they're going to the Super Bowl, baby. Let's get it.
Ben, your thoughts?
All right, so this is the only thing I'm going to say about this fucking game. Only thing I'm going to say about the Eagles until our next show. I just want to say that, Sean, you should say thank you to me because coming home the other day from work, I literally had a revelation and I had to literally pull off to the side of the road and take a minute to really think about like what really just transpired. And I realized that karma did actually come back and hit me from all that Carson Wentz shit. It wasn't an injury. It wasn't an injury to the Rams. because they didn't really get hurt. It wasn't – I originally thought it was them getting bounced in the first round, but then I was like, eh, like that's – I feel like that's just a little bit too light. Like I feel like, you know, it kind of could have went either way. I was really confident, but, you know, it, whatever. They weren't – okay, whatever. But, you know, what it really was the Eagles going to the fucking Super Bowl. That's how God is going to punish me.
I don't think it's over yet.
No. Hang on. Let me finish. So I said, you know what? You're being an asshole, so now they're going to go to the Super Bowl. I said, okay. You know, I understand. So God, everyone out there, all the gods, if there are multiple, one, I don't care. I formally apologize to you, Sean, to everybody of the Eagles Nation for sending all that Carson Wentz stuff. I understand my punishment now. I get it. But so I'm going to just kind of leave it at that. Like, you should thank me, because the only reason why they're probably there is because I was such an asshole and kept doing all the Carson Wentz stuff. So I will accept your thank you and your gratitude. Also, Case Keenum officially fucking dead to me forever. Literally forever. I said it.
You jinxed yourself.
This is the game. I said, this is the fucking game. I said, every week I have gone back and forth with his fucking ass. I said, this is the week he can prove it to me.
Should have stayed that way.
I said, you know, because I was like, every week I was like, this is the week he turns back into a piece of fucking coal. So this is the week. This is the week. This proves me wrong every single week. For the last week, I said, okay, Case, you keep playing like this, you're forever out of the doghouse in my mind. You're good. You're golden. You can do whatever you want to do. You can win the fucking Super Bowl for all I care. But if you lose this week, you're officially fucking dead to me. And he literally turned into a jack-o'-lantern and looked clueless, looked horrible, just terrible. I was praying Sam Bradford came into this game. I was literally watching the first half, and I was like, Case Keenum is going to come out of this game, and Sam Bradford's going to come in, and they're going to – that would be probably worse than the Eagles going, is if Case Keenum came in, got him all the way there, and then fucking Sam Bradford comes in and takes them to the Super Bowl and wins the game. And I was like, oh, my God. But no, kept Case in for whatever goddamn reason. And sure enough, the Eagles are there. So I'm done talking about the Eagles. I'm done hearing about the Eagles. And until Thursday, that's all I have to say about it. So, Sean, you can say thank you whenever.
I just thought that Case Keenum didn't do as poorly as I
horrible, bro. Horrible.
Three turnovers isn't the best.
Two interceptions.
He looked like plus he did fumble. Against the – he literally looked Jeff Fisher, Case Keenum. The first drive, he looked great. First drive, they looked good.
I was nervous.
He threw that fucking duck of an interception, I was like, all hell is going to break loose. And he literally could not stand still in the – as soon as he threw that, he was like, wait a minute. I'm Case Keenum. I suck. And then just sucked the rest of the game.
He didn't do anything that really surprised me, actually. He played.
You're fucking surprised as shit.
That was
a lot of
turnovers.
He had a 65.
Like, this is not the Case Keenum I've seen. He had a 39 QBR.
No, he didn't.
Or 39 quarterback rating or something, dude.
He had a 65 passer rating from this weekend.
It might have been a 30 something in the first half.
Yeah, 50. Yeah, he had a 60% completion, 271 yards, which is 10 more than his average from the season. And he had a touchdown, which is almost just on average per game. And yeah, he threw more interceptions against the best defense he's played this whole season.
It was the best defense.
It wasn't too surprising. Again, dude, I didn't say he would play well.
Like I said to you when you first brought up the stats, and I first said that Case Keenum was dead to me in the group meet, like, I looked beyond the stats in this game and just watching him play, he just looked like he didn't want to be there. He just looked like he had no idea what he was doing. He just looked like he was Case Keenum of Jeff Fisher era. Like,
he looked like he was playing a really good defense. He hadn't done that before.
He just looked lost, bro.
That was the best defense he played by a long shot this season. The Vikings didn't have that hard of a schedule. And
I agree there, but still, like, if Case Keenum was as big as like as what everyone fucking hailed him to be, he shouldn't have looked that horrible.
No, our narrative this season was that he was enough. And that didn't fly against a good defense.
I'm just saying, too, like, granted, like, he played the Saints. Yes, he had that miracle of a touchdown against the Saints. But, yeah, they won that game, and that was on, like, him plus Diggs. Like, I get that. But they came into Philly. It was – I've read so many things about how, like, a lot of sports analysts that went to that game said it was the loudest outdoor game they've ever been in their entire lives, which I firmly believe. You saw how crazy – dude – I just want to say that dude that drove the dune buggy up the Rocky Steps is my new hero. 1,000%. Also, to everybody that made it up a pole that was greased up, kudos to you. I'm proud.
And good for the guy who ran into the pole.
I think the biggest thing that I'm going to take away from with Case Keenum, I think the difference in this game compared to all the other games where he was, quote, just enough, which I agree he was just the bare minimum that they needed to get where they were going, was how just bad the defense played. Like, granted, like, the offense had, what, three or four straight three and outs, and they were just on the field, and just Eagles were just gashing them and gashing them, just two short play, short play, long play, short play, long play. And
two
just,
of the touchdowns they
just
had,
looked just gassed, dude.
Two of the touchdowns that they had came when Xavier Rhodes was on the bench.
Yeah.
They did it on purpose. They were waiting for him to sit out. Two of them, like, his backup, like, just got beat.
He wasn't
times.
Sitting out. He was hurt.
Was he hurt? What happened?
Yeah.
No, I thought Diggs was the one that got hurt early.
I mean, he just went out for a knock for a few plays.
He did, yeah, because he got hit in his back. But, like, he was back on the next series because that was third down. But Rhodes was, like, getting his foot or ankle or something looked at, like, like for, like, two or three straight drives. And then he came back in when he was hurt, and they gashed him again because he just literally couldn't move.
Well, his backup had, like,
horrible.
Oh, my God. That he allowed, like, a 140-something passer rating for two touchdowns. And I think every ball that was thrown his way was caught. That's not very good.
He's a good backup.
Very bad backup.
My reasoning for saying, talking about, I didn't think Case Keenum played horribly compared to Case Keenum. That was all. I mean,
wait, Case Keenum playing Case Keenum?
I said Case Keenum did not play a horrible game for Case Keenum.
Oh no, I mean it was fairly average. I'm sure he's played worse games. Ben, you'd be the expert on that.
He's played on worse teams, you said?
No, I said he's played worse games. I said, I don't know, you'd be the expert
on
that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, I've seen plenty of worse games from Case Keenum, believe me. I have seen plenty, too. My favorite Case Keenum memory is when we were playing the Ravens last year, and he literally got his head knocked off and, like, had no idea where he was, and, like, the offensive linemen were just trying to pick him up like a fucking rag doll, and he just had no clue where he was at, and he was just back in the next series.
I remember this. I know exactly. It's still not as bad as What's-His-Face having a seizure with his hands, like, shaking.
And then he went back in.
Tom Savage. Dude,
yeah,
back
Tom
in, like,
Savage.
Two plays
Jesus
later.
Christ.
Dude, he got fucking lit.
Oh,
up,
you can't
his
do
arms
that.
Just were, yeah,
you can't be putting him back in.
No.
No.
The whole Russell Wilson not even in the tent thing earlier
that
in the season.
That geeked me out, too. It's just like, oh, my God.
Also, Ben owes Sean $10.
Yeah, you do.
I do.
I keep forgetting about that.
Can you explain that real quick?
Yeah, the Eagles in garbage time fucking racked up 20 yards and they went over 100.
It was like 40 some yards.
No, they had 100.
You said
they
only had
115 total.
You said they had but he said they only had like 80 or 85 going in to the fourth quarter.
They had
or
like
to the
73.
Last drive.
They had like 73 with 5 minutes left in the game.
Yeah, so that's
25 yards.
35.
30. Still, I mean,
they had 115.
You're running
they had
the ball,
75.
You're running the ball like six times in a row, eight, nine times, whatever it was, like just to run the clock out. Like
which,
I would hope
you
should.
We put up the most rushing yards. I think we put up the most rushing yards, total yards, and passing yards on the Vikings out of any team this year, I believe.
No one ran for over 110 yards against the 115 yards against the Vikings this season.
I believe so. Yes.
That's a nutty stat if that's true.
I can actually look.
I don't care that much.
I just remember them talking about how like it was crazy.
Oh, they just lit them up.
Bad their defense.
Yeah, they lit them up.
Which was completely nobody saw that coming. Strictly because it was like nobody.
I mean, no one.
I don't know a single person
that
predicted a 38-7 victory for the Eagles.
Honestly, no one should have seen that coming. To be fair, the way that Nick Foles played was just out of his goddamn mind. It was awesome. It was just
two of his touchdowns were on blown plays, which was just great.
Yeah, blown fucking plays.
But I mean,
but the flea, how sick was that flea flicker?
That was
flea flicker
dope.
Was dope.
Flea flicker was dope. He said that he was in the. I read a whole thing about it. Nick Foles was standing there. He got the call and he was like, "Wait, are you fucking serious? Like, we're running a flea flicker right now? Like, that was not in the game plan at all. And that was just Doug Peterson being Doug Peterson." And then they said he was trying not to smile the entire time because he was like, there's no reason we should be, like, going for another score. We're already up by how much. We should just be, like, wasting time. And Doug was like, no, we're fucking doing it. So they did it. And oh, my God, it was great. So great. I fucking love this team. I'm going to be in Philadelphia for the Super Bowl in hopes that they win. And if they do, my God, that city is going to burn.
See, that's the thing that would concern me the most about, like, if I'm an Eagles fan, is like they like just getting to the Super Bowl, like everyone burned the city down like they had won it. And like the Patriots literally were just standing up there talking like they were just like, yep, just another game.
Well, that's what Super I love Bowl, about whatever. It because they keep using
here,
the,
just passing this off right here.
They keep
like,
using the
Belichick
underdog
didn't
mentality.
Even hold the trophy. They literally just handed it to him and said, yeah, this isn't what I want.
Well, it's like, more like a act like you've been there before.
They keep doing
yeah,
that.
And it's that, and it's just like act like you've been there before, and like, act, like, yeah, stay the I fuck mean, focus.
We've
like,
been
like,
there, but
still
it's
have
been,
another fucking
it's
game
been 13 years since we've been there. It's only our third appearance ever. Like, I mean, I get exactly what you're saying, but you also all of you guys understand how Philly fans are.
Yeah, I understand all that. They're fucking assholes.
Yeah, they're dickheads. You saw how they treated almost everybody, and I'm not going to say I agree with everything that was done, but you guys know how, like, those fans are. You saw the Vikings team bust.
I was just bugging it, like, all the like, people, like, that were, like, not Vikings nor Philly fans, but, like, just knew, like, that all these Philly fans still had to go to Minnesota, and, like, the one guy was, like, when there's a picture of Millie, and then the people, like, walking down the street with the Fuck Millie banner, and some guy quotes you, and it's just like, wait till all these fuckers get to Minnesota and realize Millie's got shooters. Like, like you're slim to go to a bunch of pissed off fucking Vikings fans in Minnesota. Like,
they're not
going to
do
like,
shit.
I'd be probably they're more afraid not. Of a random person in Minnesota.
Yeah, but there's going to be so many Philly, like,
oh, agreed.
They're going to flock together. That's what they've done all year. I'm so fucking excited. They've already said that if they win, it's projected to be the biggest Super Bowl sports, or not Super Bowl, but biggest sports parade of all time. Like, 2 million plus, which would just be incredible.
Sick.
I feel like
when the Giants won, it was bigger than that.
I 1,000% would be going to that.
I feel like when the Giants won,
like,
it was bigger.
I feel like it's not going to top
the biggest city in America?
No.
I feel like it's definitely not going to top the Cubs.
If there's 32 million people.
I don't. It's going to be really, really.
It's
going to
be wild, dude. I believe it's going to be wild. But
I agree.
The whole like Chicago, like the city of Chicago, like they had 108 years went by before they won the World Series. Like I feel like Philly fans, like when the Eagles suck, they don't give a shit about
them. They showed out 250,000 people on opening night. Of the draft when the draft was here last year, and that's just
yeah, it's the fucking NFL draft.
I get
dope.
That. That's just the NFL draft, though. This is like the city itself winning, like the thing that we've been craving forever.
Yeah, I understand that, but like my thing, like I think it's gonna be massive, but like the biggest of all time, I don't know if I buy that. I would buy Chicago Cubs parade over theirs, dude. Like, I get it. Like, it's massive for them, but like. When the Cubs were ass and like they just for 108 years they still had sellout like play like I feel like when the Eagles are trash like no one gives a flying fuck about them like look at the Phillies right now like no one gives a shit about the Phillies because they suck.
I saw a tweet the other day where it was about the Pats and it was like I wonder how many like someone was like if the Pats lose this next weekend I wonder how many less Pat fans we'll see immediately after their loss. It was so funny because I was like, I never thought about that. I was like, you know, you've been a Pats fan this whole time because they just won. I remember like in the early 2000s when like...
Who was a Pats fan?
I had a ton of friends who hopped on it because they started winning.
Yeah.
And we were still young, so it was like kind of okay. So like now it's like, it's so funny where if like say they lose and like, obviously if they lose this season, if they lose the Super Bowl, everyone's going to be like, yo, is this starting the decline of Tom Brady? That whole discussion is going to obviously come up. Like, is their dynasty starting to break up? All yada, yada, yada. And it's going to be funny because it's like, how many of those Pats fans who are not from Boston or have ties to Boston other than the team are going to, like, fall by the wayside if they lose? Or when they lose eventually?
I honestly don't think many because was there really that big of a drop-off when they lost to the Giants twice?
But it wasn't a question of, like, Tom Brady's age at that point.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It wasn't, like, indicative of the end of an era.
I would like to see when, like, Brady retires, like, that year after how
right.
well they play. Cause, like,
I agree.
I mean, even after Brady goes, like, they could still...
I think him and Belichick go together. I really do.
I think Belichick is just so Belichick that, like, he'll go 1 year after Brady, and if they're really successful, he'll stay. And if they're not, he's gonna be like, all right, I'm out. Just to try to prove that he can do it without Brady.
Yeah, and I think that Brady has... I said he has... Mickey had the one prediction. I really liked his prediction. He said that they're going to win this year, and then he said next year they're going to go to the Super Bowl and lose, And then the year after that, you're going to see Tom Brady not have a great year, and then he's going to retire. That's what Mickey's prediction was.
I agree with everything except for the fact that he is going to win this year.
That's fine. You're allowed to say that.
My buddy, Connor had a good prediction. I think that he said that he's going to win this year, and he's going to win next year, and then he's going to be done.
There's no way he wins three in a row. I'm sorry, but that's not. It's not.
I don't know.
That would also be the most Tom Brady thing ever.
I mean, it would be, but yeah. It's not.
Because like that would put him at 7 rings, and that would be more than like he personally would have more than any other franchise, and like then he'd be done because there's no argument that he is the best of ever.
I mean, I don't think that is really an argument anymore anyway.
But even yeah, I know.
Every argument always comes down to like the LeBron, MJ, Kobe thing always comes down to rings. It always comes down to this and that. If Brady has the most rings and he has all the stats, there is no debate.
The only debate that you could give is that Peyton Manning was a better regular season quarterback.
That's an argument.
I agree with you. If you're just talking about regular season, I feel like there's a couple people that you could say like
Brett Favre.
They might have been a better regular season. But when it comes to the postseason, there's no one better.
Well, who was it? Our friend Dan, when we were watching the Jags game at like halftime, he literally was just like, or not at halftime, right? Like. Right before the first drive of the third quarter, I think it was, he was literally just like, here's what's going to happen. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. Then the Pats are going to get the ball and give the Jags back in a shitty position, and they're going to take the ball back, score a touchdown, so they can't score a field goal, and that's going to be the end of it, and the Pats are going to win. And he was like, it was totally right. And you're just watching it, you're like, yeah, that's literally what the Pats are going to do. Like, the Pats just do that.
Yeah. I predicted the last drive for the Jaguars, like, to a T. Like, my buddy was down here, and he was just like, what do you think is going to happen here? I think they're going to do it. And I said, I think that they're going to get a couple first downs. They're going to get down to midfield, and then they're just not going to be able to convert a fourth down, and that's going to be it.
Yep.
And he's like, oh, dude, no. I think they're going to get closer than that. I was like, just watch. And sure enough, they got to like the 47, and that was it.
Yep. I guess staying with the Eagles a little bit, I had this question. We're going to obviously talk. Comparing Nick Foles in the postseason to Carson Wentz in the regular season is kind of a skewed and annoying comparison, but I'm going to ask this question. Whose performance has exceeded expectations more?
Nick Foles or Carson Wentz? I mean, from all accounts, they said that they were 3 years in progress. This is where they wanted to be in 3 years, and they did it a year ahead of schedule, and I don't think they get here without Carson. But, I mean, Nick Foles came in. He played really good his first game coming in, and then he played.
Way to go! Nice!
What the hell is this, Sean?
I'm so sorry. I thought it was muted. Oh, no, it wasn't. My bad. My bad, everybody.
This is why I don't fuck around on Facebook and Twitter.
I don't know.
Yeah, she was. Like, his hands were on his phone, actually.
And my phone wasn't the one that did it. It was my computer. It was really fucking weird. All
right, Foles or Wentz? We're talking.
But Foles. So he came in and he played really, really good his first game. I think it's...
I'm honestly not even counting his regular season games.
Granted, I think he played really well that first game because they didn't really have film on him. He hasn't really been a starter.
They wanted to just get him reps. That was exactly what his games were.
And they've said that now. Like, he didn't get any preseason stuff. Like, he didn't... He's literally... That's why I think he had such a good game this past week, because he's actually now been with the offense enough. He's hitting a stride. He's gotten the repetition. He's gotten to know the people that are around him. Like, he is a very, very good surrounding cast. So... I'm going to say that it's Wentz, just because, again, he went 7-9 last year, but to come in and have the record that he did, he only lost one game. He went, 12-1 or whatever. That's fucking phenomenal.
Here's what I think. I think Nick Foles' performance in the postseason has been more impressive to me, mostly because...
His game against Atlanta wasn't... It was good. It was very good. He had a very high completion rating. He didn't throw any touchdowns. And yeah, he didn't throw any interceptions either. He played a solid game. Don't get me wrong there. This past game was phenomenal. It was like Carson Wentz-esque. Like, he wasn't getting all those runs in, but he was...
His
pocket presence was fantastic.
Right. Well, we had said, like, before the game, I said, if the Eagles, and Nick, like, led by Nick Foles, were able to orchestrate 2 touchdowns against the Vikings, they were going to win. That was what I said. And they did, obviously. If you think, hey, he had three throwing touchdowns, obviously, and obviously they scored a lot more. So, I mean, necessarily getting the touchdown yourself doesn't mean as much to me if it's like a rushing touchdown, if you orchestrated that. You know what I mean? You orchestrated the drive, you gave the play, you know, whatever. Yeah. A lot of factors into that. But I mean, I think that his, when he came in, it was like we said, they've been the underdogs every single game in the playoffs, and for the reason of people just expected Nick Foles to lose because he wasn't as good as Carson Wentz was throughout the season. So, I mean, I get that. I mean, I'm not going to argue against someone who says Carson Wentz had a more impressive season because, like you said, he went 12-1. He had a fantastic year, blown it's away, and he would have won the MVP if he stayed in. I agree. Ooh, so sorry.
My ears are blown.
Ooh, that was gross. We're struggling through this. But I think looking at the way that Wentz did it, by 7-9 was like not the best record last year. Not bad though for a rookie. And then this season, by like the 10th week, the Eagles were favorites to like make it to the Super Bowl by like every analyst perspective. By the time that they made it to the playoffs, it was like the Eagles have a really good, like, they're the favorites to win the Super Bowl. Carson Wentz is going to win the MVP. Like, you have all these factors where it's like the Eagles are the shit this season, and they were, like, not arguing that, I'm agreeing with that. So like when it came time for coming to the playoffs, the expectation was that Carson Wentz was expected to carry them to the Super Bowl. So when he got injured, it was, okay, it's on Nick Foles who's going to lose his first game and every single game after that. And that just hasn't happened. So, I mean, I agree that Carson Wentz has had, like, possibly, like, one of the better seasons for a second-year quarterback in I can't remember how long. I do think that Nick Foles coming in and just putting the team on his back, being literal Big Nick Foles, to me is more impressive. And, again, not taking away from Carson Wentz, but I don't know.
I would agree with the Nick Foles comp, too, just because of what you said. Like, Carson Wentz, like, yeah, he exceeded expectations, but
by
like,
so much.
By so much, but no one, like, coming into this year was like, they are not, like, they're going to be, like, I mean, some people may have said they're going to be the worst team in the division. That's just because they don't know how Dallas is going to play.
Right.
But, like, no one said Carson Wentz is going to be horrible. Like, he's not going to improve. Like,
no, but still,
all this kind of stuff. But not the way Nick Foles was when Carson went down and Foles came in. And everyone literally was like, Eagles season is over. They're not winning another game. They're going to lose the first game.
I mean, myself included. He did.
And,
he
like,
played.
He comes out there and gets them to the Super Bowl. I think, like, not saying Nick Foles had a better year, not saying Nick Foles is a better quarterback. I'm just saying expectation-wise, strictly expectation-wise, Nick Foles, bar none.
What I'm saying is that, like, both of their performances this season have been...
And I said that before. It's not a good comparison. But.
Have been stellar. But you guys have to understand the surrounding cast here. Like, what the whole team... Like, the team as a whole. It's not put on either one of their shoulders. Yes, there are games where it looks like that. And there are, like, teammates from this past game that said, like, we don't ask him to do that. Yes, he did go out there and put us on his back tonight. But, like, that is not asked of him. He showed that in the game beforehand. He didn't put them on his back. He just played a mistake-free game. You know what I mean? And they won the game. Like, that's all. That's what they're asking from him. That is what everyone in the organization has been saying they've been asking from him. Again, I'm not taking any credit away. He fucking played great. But it's a lot on the team as well.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that too, but Nick Foles has had the same team that Carson Wentz has had too before he got hurt.
Yeah, and this past game was really his first game showing out. And yes, granted, it was on the biggest stage possible, that, you know, bigger than anything Carson's ever played in. Don't get me wrong there, like, I get that. But that's one game compared to, like, what Carson has done all year. It's just so tough to how do you compare the two? You know what I mean? Like, Carson has had a lot more games, but you know, we're in the postseason now, so like that carries a lot more weight with that too. Like, it's really...
That's exactly how we compare the two.
I'm saying it's tough to do that. Like, how much weight do you get? Yes, he's played in two postseason games, so you're gonna use you're
more
gonna
than
say
once.
You're gonna I understand that, but I'm saying you're gonna say that those two postseason games make it that much more important compared to what Wentz did all year.
Yeah, because if Wentz loses, they still have another game next week. It doesn't end their season.
I didn't say more important.
And he doesn't get the rep that, if your ass wasn't in there and Carson was, we would have won. Like, you're the one that lost us this shit. I think the pressure was on Foles. I think the, like, pressure of the games were on Foles. And I think just, like, the expectation that he wasn't going to be shit was on Foles. And he came up and he fucking delivered tenfold, got you guys to the fucking Super Bowl. I think you can definitely see how he could be like we're not saying like, oh my God, Nick Foles quarterback controversy, yada yada yada.
No, no,
saying,
no. I
like,
get what you're saying.
Strictly the expectations that both were giving.
People were expecting Carson at some point to come out and ball. Like that was the expectation with him. He was taking number two overall. Like,
I think their expectation this season was like 10 wins from the Eagles or something.
No, it was 8.
No way.
It was really, dude. They were projected.
There's no way that was the expectation.
I promise you, you look it up. They were projected to get last place in our division.
That blows me away. If that's true.
Everyone said that all year. Like coming into the year, the Dallas and the Giants were supposed to be the two teams to make it from us, and the Redskins were supposed to be ahead of us. Us and the Redskins got flipped on a lot of people's preseason. Like, what's gonna happen? But we were still bottom three or four. I know.
If you want to talk about exceeding expectations, you can go to the team out in LA and see what they did.
Ben, I think both of us can say realistically that this year both of our teams exceeded expectations.
I mean, we were supposed to go 4-12 this year.
I mean, Matt said it all year. You guys are 1 year away, just like you're a year before what we are. So, you know, bring that back next year and let's play each other in an NFC championship game. How about that, guy?
I was praying for it this year, but next year I'm here for it. I am definitely fucking here for it.
I thought it'd be sweet.
We have a tough ass schedule next year, though.
Oh, we have a really tough schedule next year, and we're projected 11 wins, which is pretty cool.
Ooh.
So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I think we get between 10 and 11 next year.
Between 10 and a half.
I mean, that's 10 and a half is exactly what.
Yeah. We're not going to go into the Super Bowl, obviously. It's still 2 weeks away. Pro Bowl's in the between. Don't need to go predictions now.
Maybe next time we can come on and just talk all basketball. It'd be pretty cool.
What I was going to bring up is that the Duquesne Dukes play number 24 Rhode Island this weekend in the A-10, which is number one against number two. It's in Rhode Island, unfortunately. But that's tough. It's on Sunday at noon, so you best believe that Sean and I will be watching that fucking game. That's
a noon game on the road, though, that's going to be tough for the Dukies to win.
Oh, yeah. But if they win...
I don't know how I like you calling them the Dukies.
Yeah, why don't you back the fuck up?
It's Dukes, bro. Dukes. Dukes by 90. Put them up. Dukes.
Let's go, Dukes. Final thoughts.
Go ahead, Sean.
I'm going to do everything in my power over the next 2 weeks to get Ben to send me another picture of Carson Wentz. Is that ACL injury?
Will not happen.
I think it will.
I formally apologize to everyone that I needed to apologize to. I deleted all the images off my phone immediately, cleared my search history.
You delete your Instagram post?
I forgot about that. Yeah, thanks for reminding me. I'm going to have to, yeah. Most definitely. Can you edit posts? Because if I can, I'll just take it out and keep the post up.
I might be able to.
You might be screwed here. You're gonna do one of that's a karma situation right there, Ben.
Oh, you can't edit photos. No.
No, yeah.
Not a karma,
yeah.
Karma because I've taken everything I needed to take
to
out.
To be fair,
of
the post that he was talking about, he wished me personally a happy birthday. It was very heartfelt and he is about to delete it. So throwing that out there,
that is
a karma situation, Ben.
Which karma's worse?
I've already said it. Like,
which karma's worse?
I think bad juju on Sean's not as bad as Foles. I mean, Wentz.
Any juju that's on me gets put on this team.
You shouldn't say that.
It does.
You'd have bad luck. No one has a final thought?
That was my final thought.
What?
I'm going to do everything in my power to get him to send me that picture.
Okay. And Ben?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to do everything in my power not to send that fucking picture this time.
Wow, what great final thoughts, guys.
And my final thought is that we got first episode of First Rounders dropping for tomorrow for you guys. It's all edited. It's all ready to go. It's quit up.
Ben, you have to watch before you get off the phone with us.
Yeah, you got to watch before you get off the phone after this. But yeah, we're going to get that for you guys. Like we said, we're going to try and do a little series if we can, depending on where we are and if it's nice out and if we're not hungover to do it. But yeah, that's my final thought. Thanks for listening, guys. I know today we just needed to hash out and talk about, you know, little recap of the games this weekend because it was pretty goddamn important, especially because we're very heavily football. So thanks for listening, guys. Make sure you, share us with your friends. Tell your grandma.
Grandmas love us.
Yeah, follow us on iTunes. Follow us on the Twitter machine at Room Temp Show, and make sure you stay tuned for either hopefully Thursday or Friday that we're going to get the this next episode this week. So stay toasty, everyone.
Stay toasty, y'all. Peace.